Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we bless this season that we're entering into, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that season of celebration, the season where we can look back and forward, Lord God, knowing that you are the Alpha, you are the Omega, and you're right in the middle. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're in the middle. You hold it all together. You are the Alpha. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're in the middle. You hold. Just lift your hands and sing it to Jesus. You are the Alpha
and the Omega. You're in the middle. You hold.
You are the Alpha. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're in the middle.
You hold it all together.
Thank you, Lord God. That's our testimony. That is our joy. And it's our blessing to declare it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, our Savior. And why don't you take your seats? Thank you so much. We'll get into the Word today. Praise the living God. The title of my message today is, Who Cares? It's Christmas. Did you see that auntie test with the grandma with the beer? That's a good COVID test, mate. I tell you that. Praise Jesus forever. Woo! Glory to God. I don't recommend it myself, as our dear sister, Pastor Sarah, said. It's not a government-approved COVID test. And please don't send in like hundreds of letters. Pastor P, what are you doing? Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 21. We'll get there, but I just want to lay out the situation of what we face. One of the things that we do in Harvest, we do a lot of intercessory prayer. Amen. Those of you who are half-night and all-night regulars, you'll know that we pray into a lot of situations. There's a lot of stuff going on in the planet. Anyone noticed? I mean, it's there. It's in the news. It's in your face. It's there like daily. I mean, you can't walk down the road and celebrate a Christmas parade without some nutcase headed towards you in a car, or going into a Christmas market and there's some like jihadi guy wanting to knock you off or something like that. And then there's people stabbings, muggings, burglars, gamblers, pickpockets, peddlers, even panhandlers. You remember that song? Man, I tell you, am I from another generation? Don't push me, cause I'm close to the... Oh, you do know it? Okay. Broken glass everywhere. People peeing on the streets. You know, they just don't care. Can't stand the smell. Can't stand the noise. Got my money in my pocket and I got no choice. The debt collectors, they ring my phone, scare my wife when I'm not home. I got a bum education, double-digit inflation. The train to the job, there's a strike at the station. How many people have I lost already? Man, I tell you what, you're far too sanctified. No, I'm kidding. So one of the things that we push into is world events. We just can't help it. Like when that spirit comes on us and we can like move in the realm of the spirit, because God wants to have a voice in the earth. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to who? The sons of men. So unless the sons of men cry out to him for his intervention, then what can he do? He's a gentleman. He's not an invader. Like the devil, God is a gentleman, so he'll wait until he's invited. And so we have to invite him. That's why Jesus said, he said, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on where? Earth as it is in heaven, right? So without man's intervention in what we call intercessory prayer, then there's precious little God can do. So the more we can pray and the more that we can intercede and the more that we can send petition to heaven on behalf of the earth, that the more God can intervene. How many of you have seen God's intervention in your life? Yeah, somebody prayed for that intervention. I guarantee you. I remember, you know, growing up in Tottenham, and there used to be this family down the road, like Pentecostal holiness family. I mean, proper Jamaica level Pentecostal holiness. You know, with the sharp hat. I mean, you could shave your beard on, like, how sharp. How you, Jennifer Denny, you know the score. She knew I'd pick on her the moment I mentioned Pentecostal holiness, because that was the background. I mean, man, like no makeup, no partying, no nothing. Like I went to a party once that they were holding in the house, and it was like, where's the music? DJ, you know, it wasn't like DJ don't play no slow jams. It was DJ play anything. Where are you, dude? And it was all, you know, God bless you, Sister So-and-so. Have a great birthday, Sister So-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. And man, it was kind of dry. But I knew, you see, the woman knew how to pray. Mrs. Dodd, her name was. And I mean, she knew how to pray. And she'd wring her hands, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, the way they'd go, like, you know, like heavily mixed with a big dose of worry. But you know, how many of you know that God will answer your prayer even if it's mixed up with some worry? Yeah. That's one of the things. It's the most amazing thing that we serve a God who answers prayer. And even if it's mixed up with all kinds of stuff, like he'll do the best with what he's got. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, so important that we recognize and that we understand that, because our God is a God answering prayer. Glory to Jesus. When I was praying this morning about what three things to share on concerning world events, you know, we've got this situation in Iran. I don't know if you've been following this situation, because Iran is so dear to my heart. Zimbabwe is like the Africa of Iran, in that the people are really, really well educated and really wonderful, but they're held prisoner by this kind of regime that is just crazy. It's like a really weird kind of geopolitical situation. And the trouble is that when you've got a regime like that that is trying to intervene regionally on the planet, then the difficulty is like just one or two accidents and you can end up in a completely massive regional war, like huge, like humongously huge regional war, right? Then you've got China, Taiwan. Those of you who are like China watchers, I'm a big China watcher because of the amount, you know, it's the world's second largest economy. It matters a lot in the planet. Pray for China. You know, there's more Christians now in China than there are members of the Chinese Communist Party. Wow. Yeah, 30 million Christians in China. And, you know, they face a lot of persecution. Like, they can build, like, church buildings and everything like that. And the next thing, the authorities will say, no, we want to put a cafe there. And they can knock the church building down and build a, like, 10-meter square cafe that they could have built down the road. But no, we want it there. That sort of thing that goes on in China. And, in fact, you know, the Taiwanese, the region there, and I pray that as I'm ministering this to you, that a love for the nations, that God's heart for the nations will start to multiply into your spirit. Because there's a lot to pray for. But like I feel like we don't pray enough, especially for nations. You know, it's like, Lord, bless me, the wife, the cat, the dog, us four and no more, right? Like we've got to sort of bust out of that kind of prayer thing, because if we serve a God who answers prayer, then I want to see his intervention. He cannot intervene without my prayer, because I'm the Son of Man and he's God, and the heavens belong to God and the earth belongs to the sons of men, right? So likewise with you guys, this is why there's things like famines and warfare and bloodshed and blah, blah, blah. And God gets the blame. Isn't that weird? I mean, the one person who can intervene, the one person who can answer and place, you know, I pray for governments often. Lord, put godly people in government places, and the higher the better. You know, put Christians. You know why there's not many Christians in politics? It's because politics is spiritual warfare. God said it to me one day, clear as day. I was praying here, and I was just asking God, you know, Lord, the situation on the planet, like, you know, what can we do? He said, laws aren't made in church. And as he said it, you know, there's a way God says things. And there's a like an intonation to his voice. And it was like, duh. God, like, laws aren't made in church. How many laws has Harvest Church made that are now law out there? None. Because they're not made here. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it'd be like this being like, how many pottery artifacts have we made in Harvest Church? Well, we're not like a kiln or a clay oven. Do you see what I mean? So it's like getting Christians into political appointments. That's one of my big goals. Investment banking and politics, I could change the world from this altar. Absolutely. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm, brother and sister. Glory to Jesus forever. So back to China and Taiwan. 2 years ago, I was watching, I was looking on social media, and on Twitter I was following the Taiwanese Intel people, and they are the best China watchers on the planet, because like they're only a few miles offshore, and they know China is an existential threat to their existence. And I remember watching that there's news coming out of Taiwan that there's something happening in the medical world, and they're not quite sure what it is, but they know that the Chinese government is hiding the fact that there is a virus on the loose, and it looks quite deadly. And then they showed satellite footage of the car parks in the hospital in Wuhan in China that was full up. And this is like November. You know, we're still scratching around in January wondering what's going on. And like in November, the Taiwanese were on it. I mean, that's how fast they were. So there's this existential beef between China and Taiwan. So we've got Israel versus Iran. We've got China versus Taiwan. And now we've got Russia versus Ukraine. Wow. I mean, this is like, you know, by January, because this seems to be the season that the devil tries to mess up the most. Have you ever noticed, like, how the devil tries to wreck Christmas and all that kind of thing? He's a grinchy devil. And so we've got this situation now where you've got troop build-ups. All you need is one little accident. That's it. And in fact, you know what? You study the history of the Vietnam War between America and Vietnam. The Bay of Tonkin, which was the kickoff point for America actually declaring war on Vietnam, it looks like it was organized by America. Whew. Praise Jesus. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, who cares? It's Christmas. Yeah, there's a lot going on. So let's say, for instance, by February, we face rations, we face sanctions. You think the lockdowns because of COVID was bad? I mean, how big would a lockdown be because World War III has decided to kick off? Huh? Is this good news or what? Praise Jesus forever. Nudge your neighbor again and tell him, who cares? It's Christmas. See, one of the things that I've realized, when you get into this intercessory thing, is that you can end up like being burdened with a burden that's not yours. Anyone here natural worriers? You're just a natural worrier. Go on, put up your snuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, I grew up in a Catholic family. I thought worry was a Catholic disease. I mean, everyone was worried. Even when there was nothing to worry about, they were worried. How many you've had like parents like that, or a mom, or whatever? You see, and it can be a learned behavior. But if God wants to use you in the intercessory world, if he wants to use your prayer, right, to show you things in the realm of the spirit that determine the longevity of this planet, and he wants you to intervene, then how unworried should you be in that situation? You see, the clearer the channel, the greater the efficacy of our prayer in the realm of the spirit. That's what sacrifice is about. That's why we're not just talkers, we're not just prayers. Like, we are sacrifices. That's what sacrifice is all about. That's what this altar is for. This altar is a tithing altar. It's a sacrificial altar where we can give something to God that means something to us. So when we're praying on behalf of the things that mean something to us, that sacrifice is like a turbo booster to our prayer in the realm of the Spirit. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise Jesus forever. That's how much he loves us, that he's given us this ability. Now, a lot of us, by God's grace, you'll get understanding as you grow in the Lord, because a lot of this stuff is, it's spiritual warfare, and it's necessary for your life, but it's like one of those things. How many of you, when you started praying and started interceding, you became a prayer and an intercession addict? Yeah, why? Because it grows on you. You see, God, there's something that God can have. There's something that God can release because of our intercessory prayer. Really, really powerful stuff. Like, really powerful stuff. We've seen it from this altar here. Several world-level, world-changing situations altered from this altar because we had that kind of prayer. Glory to Jesus forever. Now, so that was the world. That was the world situation from like a geo-warfare point of view, right? Now, what about this whole viral situation? Because, like, has anyone noticed it's kind of hesitant to go away? You know, we had 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and then the curve nearly flattened us. And then they had, like, more lockdowns, and then it was like, you know, yeah, you're free. And then, turn around, you're not free. And then it's like, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Wash your hands, like, you've got to rub them 20 seconds? Do you remember that hand wash thing? You've got to sing happy birthday to yourself. What if it's not your birthday? Do you know what I mean? It was like, it was all kind of like, guys, are you making this stuff up as you're going along or what, you know? And of course, like, this was a novel situation. That's why they called it a novel virus, right? And I remember praying because I was like so worried and so anxious, and like, you know, anxiety can try and swallow you. Have you ever noticed that? I was like, you know, because I really do. Like, some of you, you know, I joke around and I mess around and everything like that. But like, I really do love every one of you deeply from the bottom of my heart. And literally anything that I could like... That's the truth, right? So that thing becomes, it's like if I'm not careful, it can become a care. And the difficulty with the cares of this world, the cares of this life, the Bible says, enter in and what? Choke out the word. And the word of God becomes unfruitful in my life. So all you see, instead of an example and a bless, you know, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. All you see is some like anxious mess who's like full of worry and strife and blah, blah, blah. And that's not going to cause anyone to succeed. Do you see what I mean? So it's like the enemy will try to use your own love against you by generating this negative emotion called anxiety that can then become a stronghold. So nudge your neighbor again and tell him, who cares? It's Christmas.
Who cares? It's Christmas.
Yeah, you see, because in the realm of the Spirit, none of this matters. We have one who is seated in the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous, who's gone before us as a forerunner. So he's already there. The Bible says, he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare one for you. So there's a mansion already in heaven with your name on it, like Shea Paolo or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's, I don't know what's in it, mate, but like, you know it's going to have a crisp sound system. And see, because I've given all this to God, Lord, look at the lighting I've given you. Look at the sound. I mean, feel how wonderful the atmosphere is here. Lord, I know you're the God of the more and the above. So you've got more and above of all this for me in my mansion. Hallelujah to Jesus. How many wants to come and stay at Shea Paolo? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Airbnb. Glory to Jesus forever. Right? So we've got the geo warfare situation, right? And now we've got this virus situation, right? Now, here's the thing. If you're the devil and you know that you can create this much anxiety and this much turmoil and this much strife in the world, how many of you know that he's going to try it again? Yeah. Stands to reason, doesn't it? Right? Now, the same Wuhan Institute of Virology, and there's a great book out by a guy called Matt Ridley. Anyone know Matt Ridley? He's a great writer. He's written a book called Viral, and it's tracing the origins of the COVID-19 thing from what we know already. Obviously, stuff has come out even since he's published the book. And it talks about the capability. It talks about how many laboratory accidents there's been. Like they've released smallpox, anthrax, H5N1 flu, blah, blah, blah. Now they've got, they think they've got like these genetic print mechanisms where they can print viruses. So there were 11 types. This from reading the book, I think it was 11. 11 different types of horseshoe bat virus with, if any of you know what a furin is in the like microchemical world, a furin is the thing that cuts into the cell that allows the virus to go into the cell and multiply. So it's like a scissors on the end of this virus that makes it so powerful, right? And it's like they can add those to whatever they like. It's like, dude, Jesus, rapture, now. Do you know what I mean? Nudge your neighbor and tell them, who cares? It's Christmas. You see, here's my thinking on the thing. The same God who delivered us from the lion and the bear and COVID-19 will also deliver us. Amen. I was praying about this because when you're in a situation where you've got like pastoral oversight for people, it's like it's a big responsibility before God. You know, I can't muck around. I like mucking around, but I can't. Do you see what I mean? So like I was praying about the thing and I was like interceding and it was like, gosh, you know, is like this thing is starting to like have an effect on me. I'm starting to feel like, you know, like a bit weary in the thing. You remember what the book of Daniel says? What's the number one plan of the enemy in the end times is to what? Wear out the saints. When you know that, because the Bible says, you see, it says, don't be weary in well-doing. That's a command. So we've got to be as fit and ready and yes, sir, to do well as we've always been, right? He says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. So whatever you've sown can be taken by your growing weary. So you have to really fight being weary, being tired, because it's the number one plan of the devil in the end times is to wear out the saints. And when you know that, you can stand guard against weariness, right? So anxiety brings weariness. So I was praying about this thing, this whole COVID-19 thing. I was saying, God, you know, it's like, you know, when is this going to come to an end? He says, well, what's wrong with you? He said, what about COVID-26? I was thinking, Jesus, Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? But supposing there is a COVID-26, if they've got 11 of these things, and like they managed to manipulate the entire planet through this thing, whether it be by accident or by design, or by, you know, someone going to a market after being bitten by a bat or whatever, who knows, right? But if there's 11 of these things just dangling around, waiting, the same God who delivered us from the first one will deliver us from the second one and the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one. And this is what God said, right? This is what God said. He said that was the importance of getting it absolutely right. And I think we did. Because he said, you can't be too cocky on this thing. It's intensely dangerous. I've seen so many people, even in America, I don't know if you've seen, like men and women of God being cocky about this thing. Oh, it's just, you know, Wuhan flu, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing they're on a slab. Like you can't, it's not something that you can mess with. You've got to be right and circumspect and and etc., and ready to follow the voice of God. And I'll be honest with you, my brother and sister, the last 2 years has been like, you talk about walking backwards with your eyes closed. But of course, that's what the Bible says. Do you remember the Bible says, you shall hear a voice where? Behind you, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So walking by faith is like walking backwards. Amen. It's really important to understand that you don't get the whole thing from God. He'll give you little by little. What does it say? Line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. That's how God will lead us and guide us by his Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, who cares is Christmas? Who cares whether there's a COVID 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30? Who cares? Amen. Because the same God who delivered us from that one will deliver us from this one and the next one and the one after. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me now to Luke chapter 21. We're going to look at the 34th verse. Luke 21. Verse number 34, it says this, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation. Do you know what dissipation is? Dissipation is when you just have too much at the buffet. When you can't stop. You say, oh, chicken, oh, lovely. Oh, what do they call those? You can tell I'm hungry. Louisiana spicy wings. Hey! May God forgive whoever created those things. Lord, have mercy. And I mean, literally, you're just like, you're piling. Do you understand? Like, it's like some, that's not a plate full of food. That's a building, mate. There's a lot to that thing, right? That's what dissipation is, right? Your heart can become weighed down with it. And what does he say? Drunkenness. You see, the scripture says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So there's a difference between drinking a glass of wine. I'll drink a glass of wine, no problem at all, but I won't be drunk because the Bible says don't. What did Ruth say? The constitution of the kingdom of heaven says don't, so I won't. Amen. How many of you want to obey the constitution of heaven's kingdom? Amen. Right. He says, right. Drunkenness, and then he says what? The worries of life. So the Spirit of God is comparing drunkenness and excess eating with worry. How many of you would come to church worried? Be honest, I've done it. How many of you would never dream of coming to church drunk? Praise the Lord. Yeah. How many is, you see, but we'd come to church worried. That's how much of an enemy of the blessing of God worry is. I refuse to worry about tomorrow. I refuse to be anxious about tomorrow. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication mixed with thanksgiving, let your prayer rise to God. And the peace which passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. You see, it's impossible to hear God worried. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I don't know about you, but and somebody warned me about this. They said that the more successful you become in life, in marriage, in family, in business, in ministry, he said, the more successful you become, the more the enemy will try and weigh you down with the worries of that success. Yeah. I mean, how can the devil threaten to kill your kids if you ain't got any kids? Do you see? Like, you need children for the enemy to be able to try and push one on you concerning your children, right? And wow, I mean, let me share this one with you. This happened, like, not so long ago. In fact, it was the semi-final of the World Cup that Sunday. Do you remember there was a Sunday where, like, everyone was right? 2 days before that, I'd been praying in my room. I was going through to the bathroom. And the next thing, I hear the voice of the enemy. Now, the voice of the enemy really sucks. Like, he has a really just, like, ugly voice. He can disguise it as beautiful. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. So you need to filter. If you really want to learn how to hear the voice of God, you have to filter it with the word of God. It's really important because the Bible says there's many voices out there and none of them without meaning. So there's voices in the atmosphere. There's voices in territories. There's voices in homes and households. You've got to learn what voices you're listening to. Otherwise, you can end up like a real mess, right? So it's not for the amateur. It's not for the faint-hearted, etc. But there's the voice. You see, the voice of the Lord is peaceable and then pure and then full of good works. That's what the Bible says, right? So I was coming out of my bathroom, walking down to go out, and the next thing, I hear the voice of the devil, and he says, I'm going to addict your son to hard drugs. Just like that. Boom. It was like somebody was standing beside me. And so I just, number one, master key to overcoming the devil, ignore him. Ignore him. The Bible says the wicked shall gnash their teeth and what? Melt away. I'm melting. Yeah. That's our enemy, the devil, right? So number one, ignore him. Number two, in fact, we can look at this because this fits so, so perfectly. 1 Peter chapter 5. In the constitution of the kingdom of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll look at verse number 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. And we'll read 7 and 8 as well. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What a great place to be. Under the mighty hand of God. Anytime Scripture mentions the hand of God, it's about God's might is going to show up on the thing. It's really important to understand that. We might teach it one time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him. Casting all your anxiety. What's that? All your worries. All those little things that want to nibble in your ear and keep you up at night. Anyone, you've had kids keeping you up at night? You've had situations keeping you up at night? You've had job stuff keeping you up at night? You've had, like, business stuff keeping you up at night? Church stuff keeping you up at night? I mean, there's a lot that wants to try and keep you up at night. Just when you need a good night's sleep. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, who cares? It's Christmas. Hallelujah to Jesus. He says, casting all your anxiety on him. And in fact, if you look at that, don't turn there on the screen, but if you've got a King James Bible, it actually uses the word cares. Casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Look at the next verse. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Has anyone ever seen those videos from the Masai Mara or in the national parks, in particularly in Africa, where they've got the lions, and you'll see the lion, he'll just put his nose up to the air like that and he'll sniff something. Well, the devil is like that with worry. Ooh. I smell, ooh, there's worry here. There's worry here. And it becomes an attraction to the enemy. So we really got to fight this thing. Fight this spirit. Fight anxiety. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he can't devour who he likes. Right? He's seeking, so he's going to put a priority on people that he can devour. But, it says, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So somebody has been through what you're going to go through already. So don't worry, it's Christmas. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes, yes. Anything we do, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So I hear this voice from the enemy. I'm going to addict your son to hard drugs. So I just totally ignored that voice. In my prayer chamber the next morning, I'm praying, I'm seeking God. And I said, Father, what is this concerning the enemy? Where is the entry point? And the Lord showed me a circle of friends. And there was Benji there, and there was one, two, and then three on that side, and then one on that side were either dealing or using hard drugs. Because, you know, the entry point, let me tell you something, why the battle has been, because a lot of people don't understand why the government has chosen to use marijuana as the like first line of battle in the war on drugs. It's because, you see, marijuana is an entry point into harder stuff. Dealers know it. If you legalize marijuana, then those who are dealing marijuana will just go up a level and deal something else, because that's how we do it, you know. And I remember, you know, growing up in Tottenham, I grew up in Tottenham, and the Rastafarians were always whinging because, you know, the first thing that the government wanted to do was nick their drugs, and it's we culture and blah, 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 right? And it's like, because they didn't understand that it's an entry thing. Rastafari, forgive me, but it's true. Glory to Jesus forever. Amen. So I could see in the realm of the spirit, there's a few people around Benj that are using this stuff. And so I said to Benj, I said, I was praying for you. I didn't tell him about the enemy, what the enemy had said. I said, Benj, I was praying for you. And the Lord showed me a couple of people around you who are using drugs. And I said, listen, I said, number one, be very careful. And I said, you've got to, like, just cut them straight off. And he looked at me. You know, he's so reassuring because he's like, well, he looked down at me for a start. And he says, you know, he says, don't worry, Daddy, it's fine. He gave me a hug and everything like that. And I said, you know, the devil's going to try and introduce you to hard drugs. I said, particularly cocaine. The next day, he's in a pub because they Benj went one way in North London, Abby went another way, just to find a pub that was open to show the football match. And they were full at 11 o'clock. Like the match kicked off at something like 6 in the evening, 7 in the evening, and the pubs were already full by 11 in the morning. So Benj goes to this pub in Highbury, not far from the Emirates, and he's sitting there, you know, just like chilling with a drink in his hand. And this guy started talking to him and just like yapping. They're both Arsenal fans or whatever. You're talking about football and stuff like that. And the guy said, I don't know if you use, he said, but I've got some spare. Do you want some? Little white baggie. The next day. So Benj comes home. You see, now he's like, Daddy, I know you're a man of God now. You might be my dad, but you're a man of God. Praise God. You know, and he told me the whole situation. But I had already ringed it in the spirit. Now, here's the thing, right? Because these voices and these suggestions, the enemy uses things like that all the time, right? And we have to discern what's the voice of God and discern what's the voice of the enemy. Can I tell you the number one way to start discerning the voice of God? And it's so, so wonderful. Number one, get into the word and just soak. Allow the word of God. What does the Bible say? Colossians 3:10? It says, allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. Ooh, I love that. Colossians, is it 2:10? Something like that. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and understanding. I just love it. And that's the number one thing. And number two, fellowship with the voice of God. Fellowship with the voice of God through his word. Allow that word to soak on the inside of you so that you understand your heavenly Father, right? Number three, learn who you are. There it is. Thank you. Colossians 3:16. See, I know my Bible. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom and admonishing one another. That's the one. That's the one. Just allow it to dwell. Allow the voice of God to dwell in you richly. I love what Prophet Tomi said. He said, the voice of God is more discerned than heard. I like that. Because you've got to tune in all, like tune in correctly and then tune out all those other voices that are around that can interfere your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Welcome his presence. Welcome his... get to know what it feels like being in his presence. That's why soaking and worshipping is just so powerful in those things, because that's when you start to sensitize to the voice of God. The way I've seen it described by God himself to me is like the very wingtips of an eagle. You know how sensitive the eagle's wingtips are, that they can feel a thermal and they know it's time to jump off the cliff. And they don't have to flap their wings once and they're already up 30, 40,000 feet. Quite remarkable birds. Develop that sensitivity. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. He has 1,000 different atmospheres that he brings into places. So once you discern what the atmosphere is in a particular place, it's easier to minister into people's lives, homes, families, marriages, churches, all those kind of things. It's amazing. Some of you are off already. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. Glory to Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Nudge your neighbor and tell him, don't worry. It's Christmas. Yeah. Enjoy the season. Jesus said, you think about everything that I've shared with you concerning what's going on in the world, concerning what's going on in the whole virology thing and blah, 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 right? But Jesus says this. He says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow has enough evil of its own. So enjoy today. Enjoy the season. Enjoy your Christmas and be blessed, and to hell with the devil. In Jesus' mighty name. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to close. We're going to thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are your children, the flock of your pasture. Thank you, Lord. We are your sheep, Lord God. We are your sheep, Heavenly Father. We are your children. Lord God, there's nothing we like better than being in your presence, than knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. May that be your testimony too, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen.